Did you enjoy the worship service this morning? Praise the Lord, I did. I really, really did. We begin with holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And we end with hallelujah, He is risen. God is holy. And the holiness of God, because He is holy, the word says that He is angry with sin every day. That's why God is holy. He's angry with sin every day. So God cannot look on sin. That's the reason why the justice of God is going to punish sin. God's justice will not allow sin to go unpunished because God is holy. I come this morning to say like the Apostle Paul, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. The gospel of Jesus Christ, you ask the question, what is the gospel? The gospel of Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ died for our sin. First thing, He suffered for our sin, He died for our sin, He buried for our sin, and He rose again for our justification. And whosoever believeth in Him will not perish, but going to have eternal life. Eternal life, talking about you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. For all eternity. So, the justice of God, He said, He will not allow sin to go unpunished. That's God's justice. That's why He said, He loved the world. He loved mankind. And because of the love that God had for mankind, He sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He said, if you believe, you will receive justice of God. And if you does not believe, that's why He said also in John 3:18, he that does not believe is condemned already. Why? Because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the reason why you're going to get condemnation. It's just that you does not believe. But that's not my message. Just want to tell you what the Apostle Paul said. Heavenly Father, we come before your presence this morning. We give the thanks and praise because you are a great God, creator, the maker of all things. Lord, we bless your name because you are a holy God, and because of your holiness, you cannot stand sin. So Lord, we come, O God, asking thee, O God, for grace, for mercy, and we thank you, O God, we have received it through the Son, Jesus Christ. Now, O God, as we are about to bring forth your word, we pray, O God, for the anointing by the Spirit of God, that you prepare the heart of your people as they listen to your word, and give your servant the clarity, O God, that he may minister the word, nothing else but the truth. So help me, God. In Jesus' name. All right, we are going to look at a portion from the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. From verse 1, we're going to read from verse 1 to 6, and we're going to also read verse 32. He said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, he beseech you to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, just as we are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And in verse 32 says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgive you. And I trust that the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word for his name and mercy's sake. Here in this passage, we observe that it stressed the word one another. We see many times the word one another mentioned. So Rich tell me the one another, I already know that I am not alone. I am not by myself, because see, he said many times in the same passage, one another. Right? Paul in this epistle, he emphasized the good behavior or the conduct as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Do you know that we all are disciples? We all are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is a disciple? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. One who follow or portray the character of Jesus, you become a disciple, a follower. And once you receive salvation through the grace of God, you absolutely right away become a disciple. You may be a growing disciple, some might be an experienced disciple, but you become a disciple once you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Remind yourself, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ, one who follow him. The word says, he said, walk worthy of your calling in all lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. He said here, your calling. First, we observe that your calling. Your calling. We all are called, or we all have the same calling. Right? We call to be ambassador or to be disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our calling. You know? And there is a verse that goes like that. We are called. And Jesus said to his disciple, look, if any man desire to follow me, he have to first deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Most time we ask ourselves, what does it mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Say what we have to do. Sometimes we come in, like some people might preach and tell you, okay, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, everything is dandy, everything is like a bell of roses, everything is good and smooth. But look, Jesus Christ is saying to the disciples, if you desire to follow me, you have to pick up the cross and follow me. What do you understand by the word the cross? Cross always a symbolize of suffering. So here he say now, it is really not a bed of roses, but God always promised he would protect and preserve his own. He had been doing that from the beginning, and he will be continue to doing it to the end. But what he asking, you need to pick up the cross and follow him. Prepare for the suffering. Make yourself ready to know that life come with suffering. Life come with challenge. The Christian life would not be a bed of roses, as some might tell you. But what it is important, he promised to be with you even to the end. So we go stand on his promise, because his promise is yea and amen. And he is faithful, his promise. He promised he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. And I stand on the promise of God. Stand on the promise. So he said, bearing with one another. He said about the one another again. He said, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That word, making every effort. Don't give up. Be persistent to keep the unity of the Spirit. Very important. Make every effort. The word every effort is making the sacrifice. How could you make a sacrifice? You go beyond your duty. Go beyond your calling. You make that sacrifice. Same word, like making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what the Word of God says right here. Every effort. Paul is saying to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. The example while Jesus was upon this earth, while he walked this earth. Follow his example. What he's saying to imitate Christ's example, to be follower with the Spirit, to walk in love, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to use our ability for the church benefits. Use even our ability for the church benefit. What I'm saying for the church benefit, I'm not talking about the unity for the building. I'm talking about the unity for the church, which is the body of Christ. Use every effort for the benefit of the body of Christ. Every effort for the benefit of the members of the church. That's the body of Christ. Not the building. I'm not talking about making every effort for the sake of the building, but for the body of Christ, which is the member of the church. Every one of you who is sitting here this morning is a member of the body of Christ. So that's what he's saying now. You're making every effort to keep this unity, to keep the body in harmony, in togetherness. That's what he's saying here. Simple like that. Nothing add to it. Anybody have anything to add to it? Just tell me. Praise the Lord. You make every effort. He said, keep the unity of the Spirit, to use our ability, yes, to keep growing and maturing in the truth of God. That's also part of it. We have to keep maturing and growing in the truth. I don't just say that, but in the truth of God, the Word of God. Because not everybody that would bring the truth. But you have to be like the Bereans. Such, when you hear someone say something, not everything I say might be truth. I'm not perfect. Don't look at me as a perfect man, but just look at what coming from my word. What the Word of God is saying to you and to me. Don't look at me. But the Word of God, I could speak something that is truth from, and I should be speaking what is truth from the Word of God. But you might look at me, is he that's saying that? He that is on top there? Don't look at me. Listen to what the Word of God is saying to you. And go and search it when I finish here for yourself to see if it is so, like the Berean did. They search diligently to see if it is so. Don't leave here and go back and say, he said that. But you have to examine it for yourself to see if it is so. As said here, to put away all sinful and selfish behavior and speak the word of truth one to another. As disciple of Christ, our number one calling is to be and to make disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Follow him, follow his character in what he did while he was upon this earth, living the Christian life as it is meant to be lived. You heard that? Living the Christian life as it was be meant to be lived while you're here on this earth, in this tabernacle. You're living the Christian life. Said here, not every Christian is a disciple. Did you hear that? You may not believe that. Not every Christian is a disciple because some they fail to make the sacrifice to be a learning and a following disciple of Christ. That's the reason why. Because they fail to make the sacrifice to be a learning and a following disciple of Christ. Just happy about the salvation, about going to heaven. You know that? You know some is like that? You happy, you save, and you're going to heaven. But what's about being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You see the difference? A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Following, you remember what Jesus Christ called in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? He said, he told his disciples, go and make disciple to every nation. Baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I did. And he reminded them, behold, I am with you even to the very end. So I'm saying now, we are all saved. But is we all disciple? Are we all going out there making the extra effort, the sacrifice, to go and tell people about the love of God, to demonstrate it, live it in our life? That's the difference. While I see not all Christian is a disciple. That's the difference. He said now, the sacrifice, no, to be a learning, I read that already, but a true follower of Christ is a disciple of Christ. A true follower of Christ, one who obey his command, follow his command, is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Just like we said in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Tell us, go and make disciples. We cannot tell someone the truth, how to be and to make a disciple, if we ourselves is not going out and making a disciple ourselves. If you're not a disciple, you're not going out and tell people about making disciples, winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you, if you are not doing it yourself, how can you tell someone to go and do it? You answer this question yourself. If you are not making a disciple yourself, how can you tell someone to go out and make disciples? When Jesus walked on the earth, he picked 12 men. He spent time with them. He discipled them. They learned from him. They learned from him. One day, Jesus saw a multitude of people. So he went and he went up on a mountain with his disciples. They gathered around him and he began to teach them. Where he teach them from? He teach them from Matthew chapter 6, which is say, he teach them from the Sermon on the Mount, known as the Beatitude. That's what Jesus did. He took these 12 men and he brought them on the Mount and he teach them from Matthew chapter 6, which is known as the Beatitude. The point is, Jesus spent time with them. He took time off for them. He spent time with them. And what they did? They listened to Jesus. They listened to every word of Jesus and they followed him around. You see the difference? They listened to him. He taught them. They listened to him and they follow him around. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." While he was teaching to them in that same passage, which he called the Beatitude. In 14, he told them, "They are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden." Right? Verse 15, he said, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel." That's what Jesus Christ was teaching the 12 while he was upon the Mount of Olives, where they came together to listen to him. This is what we find in Matthew chapter 6. We call it the Beatitude. Simple. He gathered them together. They listened to him. He preached to them. He taught them. He spent time with them, T-I-M-E, with them, which is very important. And they was able to learn from him. L-E-A-R-N. They learned from him. And they followed him around. They go everywhere with him. And they was joyful, excited. That's who they was. So he said, "Neither do men put a light or a candle and put it under a bushel." Verse 16 says, "Let your light so shine before men so that they may see your good work and they may glorify your Father which is in heaven." Jesus commanded his followers to make disciples. It takes one to make one. It takes one to make another. Each one could make one. So that's what he commanded his disciples, them. He commanded them to make disciples. My question, are you a disciple? I cannot answer. You answer yourself. Are you a disciple? Can you be there for someone that is new in the faith? That's discipleship. Can you be there for someone who is struggling in the faith? That's discipleship. Can you even be there for someone who is just warming benches in the faith? That is also discipleship. That is discipleship. Someone that is learning but not coming to the knowledge in the faith, that is discipleship. Even someone who never content for the faith. You know, there is a lot that does not content for this faith. That is also discipleship. In Jude chapter 1 verse 3 says, you should honestly be content for the faith which was once delivered unto you or unto the saints. Jude said, be content for the faith which was once delivered. He would not deliver to you again. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone, and we are going to build on that once delivered unto you. He said, be content for the faith. You don't have to be searching for the faith, running around for the faith. If you read the word of God, and the Spirit of God will lead you to what is true, faith, true in the faith. So, saying, be content for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. A disciple will be content for the faith. He will be content for the faith without no question. In John 14 verse 16, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. No man cometh unto the Father. There is no other way to come to God the Father. That's why God sent his son. God became man in the person of Jesus Christ. So that only through Jesus Christ, when he said there is no other way, sometimes we say there is many ways to go to Florida. We know that. That's upon this earth. But heaven is not earth. That's the difference. You could take the 95, you could take the 87, you could take the 75 from to end up in Florida. But to go to heaven, there is only one way, and through the person of Jesus Christ. No other way. So spiteless what you hear, the Hindu say, the Muslim say, spiteless what you hear any other say. Jesus said, listen what Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I am the truth, and I am the life. And no man cometh unto the Father, no other way, but through me. That's the word of Jesus Christ himself, not my word. A disciple must know the truth. You hear that? As disciple, we must know the truth. In John 18:31-32 says, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Do you want to feel free this morning? This afternoon? If you know the truth shall set you free. The truth is going to set you free. So you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Remember, in the Gospel of John, Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Pilate came and he asked Jesus, what is truth? You know, Pilate was looking straight at truth, and he didn't even know what is truth. He was looking at the truth in his eyes, and Pilate, he did not know what is truth. You know? And so Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth? Pilate answered, and he answered the question unknown to himself. Listen what Pilate said. He said, I found no fault in this just man. Did you get it? Pilate himself said, I found no fault in this just man. So you do hear it? I said, no fault is truth. So Pilate was looking at no fault. Richie was looking at truth, and he asking Jesus, what is truth? But here we see someone that had no fault, the just man with no fault, he is truth. Paul was looking at the just man, no fault, truth, and he did not know. And he was asking him, what is truth? Right in front of his eyes. He said here, he said, I found no fault in this just man. But I'm telling you this morning, the same just man, he is truth. Jesus is the truth. God is truth. God's word is truth. Truth is one of God's attributes. We've been studying the attribute of God. Holy. I always put holy on the top of the list, although we say all is equal. Love, justice, mercy. We've been studying all these. His justice, his truth. Pilate was looking at the truth of his eye in the front of him, and he did not know what is truth. All is a God attribute. God character does not change. That's who God is. And he will continue to be that. All right, I think somebody said I need to end now. Did you say that, brother? All right, I think it's all right. That's all I'm going to end now. I won't go through the wholeness. All right. So, I will leave some of this and come to some of the law. I found no fault, okay? I will end here by a famous quote by Winston Churchill. Listen to one of Winston Churchill, his famous quote. He said, The truth is so valuable that she is surrounded by armies of lies. That is Churchill's famous quote. The truth is so valuable that the truth is surrounded by armies of lies. Many lies. So here, a disciple must know the truth to be free indeed. A disciple is all about living the Christian life to the fullest. You heard that? That's what a disciple is. And God wants us to be disciples. A disciple is portraying the character of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would end by asking the question, are you a disciple indeed? I trust that these few words may stir up your thoughts as we live here in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.